This morning, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Excuse me, 20. Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus in chapter 20. Well, well, well. What should I preach on today? You know, it is a challenge for a preacher to preach on those days where it's already predetermined what he has to preach on. Resurrection Sunday, if you don't preach on the resurrection of Christ, you're going to have a church split. Oh, on Mother's Day, if you don't preach on mothers, you're going to think the preacher hated his mother. So you got to preach on mothers today. So we're going to look into the Word of God at what the Bible says about mothers this morning. And of course, there are so many things we could draw from, so many things we could choose. So many mothers are examples in the Scripture. But we're going to start here in Exodus chapter 12. One verse that Pastor Braden, I thought, was going to steal my sermon in his prayer this morning because he quoted this verse. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. You know the commandment. It's the fifth commandment of the ten that God gave Moses. Verse number 12 says this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You'll notice that only two of the commandments out of the ten do not start with a thou shalt or a thou shalt not. That fourth commandment down there in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then commandment number 5, honor thy father and thy mother. Today we're going to put both of those to the test because here we are honoring that day of the Lord and we want to honor mothers also. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for this day and this opportunity we have to gather now. And Lord, even though the weather outside is dreary and it's drab, Father, our hearts are always excited because of the wonderful grace of God. Lord, we can gather together, we can sing about it, we can talk about it, we can preach about it. Father, we're so thankful that every single day we have that grace. Lord, it's never failing, whether there's sunshine, whether there's snow. God, your grace is the same each and every day, and we're thankful for that. We pray now you'd bless the proclamation of your word. Father, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, help me to be a blessing to the mothers that are here with us. Father, help us to be mindful of the honor that is due them as we consider the commandment and the teaching and the principles of the Word of God. Lord, we pray especially should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, that's the most pertinent need, the most important thing that they have this morning. So, Father, speak to that heart and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look through the Scriptures at all the mothers that are listed and all of their good traits, and to be honest, some of their failures, some of the mothers in Scripture that did some things that weren't so commendable, we want to look at some things this morning in the positive vein of looking at mothers. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, guys, we're not leaving you out this morning, but this is not your day. We'll get you next month. But we want to emphasize this morning, giving that honor, the Bible says, giving honor to whom honor is due. And the Bible tells us that that honor is due at all times. That honor is due. Did you get it? At all times to our mothers. When we agree with them, we should honor them. When we disagree with them, we should honor them. When does a mother stop being a mother? Never. When does a mother's children stop being her children? Never. It might seem rather odd, but my oldest daughter now is 40, but she's still a child because she's my child. She might be 40, one of these days she'll be 50. Maybe 60, hopefully I'll still be around to see that. But no matter how old she gets, and the other children also, they'll always be my children because once they're your children, they're always your children. I'm thankful that God the Father treats us that way also. Some folks worry about losing their salvation, so to speak, or thinking that God will one day kick them out of their family for bad behavior or disappointing Him. Well, if God could kick you out for bad behavior, you'd have been kicked out a long time ago. But God is a good heavenly Father, just like our earthly fathers and earthly mothers. And it doesn't matter what we do. We might displease them. We might break their hearts. But they never stop being our mothers. and we never stop being their children. Honor thy father and thy mother. I want to give you three things this morning in regard to mothers. First of all, the recognition of a mother. I am thankful that the role of motherhood is being restored to its rightful place. Now, if you don't know what I mean by that, those of you that have been around as long as I have, or longer, you know that about 50, 60 years ago, we started a trend in our nation where motherhood was looked down upon as a menial task of no value. And the Woman's Lib movement got going, got full force, and they kind of put the kibosh on being a stay-home mom, being a mother, doing what was necessary. And all of us can simply say we have seen the results in our nation over the last 50 years of that thought and that terminology. But I believe we're on an upswing. I believe. It's sad, isn't it? What preachers proclaimed 50 and 60 years ago that society throws aside, now they're coming back to, and if they had stuck with what the preachers were saying all along, we wouldn't have all the baggage we've got today. If we would have put mothers in their rightful place 50 and 60 years ago, when everybody was dissing motherhood and dissing stay at home and raising children, if we'd have done that, we wouldn't have the mess we've got today. But the reason we've got that is because you know what they were called during the 70s and 80s when the results started coming in. They were called latchkey children. That was children that came home to no parents because both of them were working jobs. Both of them were outside. Whether of necessity or not, we can have that big argument later, but that's just the way things went, the way things were. And we're getting the benefit or reaping the results of that now. But now we're back, I think, to a place where we recognize the value of mothers. It is a blessing. We watch Jeopardy sometimes, and the other night it's Mother's Day week, and so they had all lady contestants on it, and they asked the ladies what their occupations are, and one of them says, "Well, I'm a consultant." Impressive. Another one said, "I'm an interior decorator." Good for you. The third one said, "I'm a stay-at-home mom." There used to be a day, there not so long ago, that would have been frowned upon. That would have thought not important, not valuable. But we've now learned that there is no more valuable occupation than that of motherhood. We need to recognize them. Honor, the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. Honor thy father and thy mother. The husband is to honor his wife. You say, "Preacher, why would you start with that?" Well, because the sad truth of it is, men. I'm not on. All those sign signals back there. Do I have to start over? Everybody can see that but me. You're looking this way. All right? The recognition of a mother. The husband is to honor his wife. Why aren't we starting with children? Children, mother, that's what that's all about. But can I say this, men, and I say this with fear and trepidation, that the way that we treat our wives will reflect in the way that children treat their mothers. Did you get that? The way that we treat our wives will affect the way that the children treat their mothers. So it has to start with us. We have to honor them. We have to give them the respect that's due their name. I don't care where the world is with their equality of the sexes and all that rubbish. Women are on a higher plane than men are. They should be treated with honor and respect far beyond any other man. Doors should be opened for them. Bags should be carried for them. Things should be done for them. You know, we open the door for people here at the church, and that's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're a guy, open your own door. But for the ladies, let's get that door open. Now, we don't do that. We open it for everybody. We're equal opportunity door openers here around here. But you understand what I'm trying to say is women have a special role in society. Society is trying to bring them down to manhood. What a sad, sad thing. When we don't elevate womanhood and motherhood to the position it rightfully deserves. And man, it's got to start with us. We have to honor our wives so our children will honor their mothers. Look, if you would, turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 3, all the way over in the New Testament, near the end of the New Testament. First Peter chapter 3. Peter is giving some commandments here. He gives a commandment to the wives beginning in verse 1. Talks about their testimony, their influence upon others. Then he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," talking about their wives, "dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor." There's our words. Giving honor unto the wife. We set the example for the children of honoring their mother by giving honor to their mother as our wife. We set that pattern. It's a biblical command. Honor them. And as Pastor Braden said in his prayer, it's not to be done one day out of 365 in the year. It's to be done every day. Those commandments back in Exodus chapter 20 was not, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," only on Sunday. The Bible didn't say, "Thou shalt not steal," only on certain days. Those commandments are for every day of every year of our life. And that commandment to honor thy father and thy mother is a commandment for every single day. How do we honor them? What respect do we show for them? What do we do as husbands to set the pace and the tone in the household for the children, giving honor to whom honor is due? Look here, turn back to your left just a few pages. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Men, how do we do this? I'm glad the Bible gives us some help because we're not real bright at figuring it out. So how do we do this? How do we give honor to our wives that we might set the pace in the home? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 simply says this: "Husbands, love your wives." We are commanded. We are commanded by God to love our wives. I have had fellows sit in my office. I've counseled before and done some marriage counseling. And I've had the man tell me, "Well, I've fallen out of love with her. I just don't love her anymore." And let me say, it is possible for that to happen. John, in writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Thou hast left thy first love." They at one time loved the Lord Jesus Christ and they fell away from that love. It's possible to fall out of love. But there's no excuse for falling out of love. The Bible commands us to love our wife. And these fellows, most of the time when somebody has told me that, when they've said to me, "Well, I just don't love her anymore," it's like they have a valid excuse for their marriage falling apart. A valid excuse for their home deteriorating. Because, well, it's just over the years things happen and I just don't love them anymore. And my first word to them is simply this: you need to get right with God. Because the Bible tells you to love your wife. When we take those vows, we usually say in sickness and in health. In for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. Husbands, love your wives. There in Ephesians chapter 5, look down at verse number 33. The Lord knows that sometimes we don't get it the first time, so He gives it to us the second time. Ephesians 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." What's the Lord trying to tell me? Is he trying to tell me as a male that I can sometimes get stuck on myself? That I take care of my own needs and do my own things and that I need to love my wife as much as I love myself? That's exactly what He's telling me. That we're to love our wives as much as we love ourselves. You know, that's a pretty lofty goal. That's a pretty high bar to set. In fact, look back, if you can, at verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Our standard for loving our wife is not society's standard. Our standard for loving our wife is as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's a high standard. And yet it's the standard gives to us as husbands to loving our wives and honoring them so that the children will also love and honor them. It starts with us, fellas. That's a big responsibility. We have to love our wives. The Bible tells us that we need to provide for them. And when it talks about providing for them, it doesn't just simply mean working an 80-hour week so you got plenty of money to throw at their feet. It means providing for them spiritually, being the head of the home, being the spiritual leader in the family. It means providing for them emotionally. And fellas, that's not in our wheelhouse very good. And we need to learn how to practice that. To be providers, to give honor and give respect to those to whom that honor is due, with helping out and making life as easy as possible for the woman that we love. Making life as easy as possible. Life, can I give you a news flash? I know this will shock you, so hang on. Life is not easy. Anybody else that told you anything else is trying to sell you something. Every advertisement you see on the commercial is trying to make your life easier. You know why? Because life isn't easy. And it takes two people running, operating that home and moving that home to make it work right. It doesn't take one buzzing around doing all the work and the other sitting in the chair. It takes two people laboring, working together to make a home right, to show honor and love and respect where it's due. The husband is to honor his wife. Then the children are to honor their mother. All that we might set the right pattern, the godly pattern, so they might learn what honor is all about. Look here, you're in Ephesians, look at chapter 6. We talked about the husbands with the wives. Notice in chapter 6 and verse 1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I love, again, the simplicity and the clearness of the commandments of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. As long as you're under their roof, they are your head. As long as you're under their care, they are your employer. They're the ones that decide what you do, when you do it, how you do it, with what you do it. Obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 2, honor, it's repeated, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Respect and honor, not just today, but every day. I woke up this morning, after getting ready and sitting down in my chair, I turned on social media just for a moment, Facebook, and looked at it. And you know what almost every single post was today? Remembering mom. Most everybody on there was remembering their mother, posting a picture of their mother with them when they were on their knee and the little kids and all that. It's all about mom today. It's mom's day. Everybody's saying, oh, she was so good. She was the best. And you know what always rings through my mind? It's wonderful for us to tell everybody now how we had the best mother in the world. But how many times did we tell her? How often did we let her know that we felt that way? My wife got a text from one of our daughters today. And it said, the older I get and the more children I get as they're growing up, the more I realize how much I appreciate you. It's sad to say, but that's what it often takes for people to appreciate. To go through the same things and see the same responsibilities and the same work to come to that same place. Can I give you a head start, young people? Just start now. So you don't have regrets later on. So you don't say later, I wish I would have treated my mom better. She was the best, but I never told her that. I wish I would have treated her better and been nicer to her. I wish I would have treated her like I love her. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. The recognition of a mother. Then look, if you would, with me at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I don't know if I should share this or not, but I'm going to. Both my sons are preaching today, different churches, and our discussion was this week was, what are you going to preach on? We're trying to help each other. We knew what we were going to preach on, but okay, what outline do you have? What are you going to use? So we were comparing notes with each other, and they started getting a little facetious. And one of the boys, I guess, for his safety's sake, I probably won't name him. But he said, I'm going to preach on Eve, the first mother, who plunged the whole world into sin because she couldn't control her appetite. I thought, I think I'll skip that one. So the other son simply replied, we're on a group text, he said, I don't know why you'd pick on her when you got so many other examples to pick from. I'm going to preach on Jezebel. Or Sapphira. You know these women we're talking about. And I said, well, I think I'll just go to Proverbs chapter 31 and show this ideal woman so everybody will feel inferior and not be able to keep up with what she was like. There's so many things we can do, but here's what I want you to see in Proverbs 31. We talked about the recognition of a mother. I want you to see the resourcefulness of a mother. Man, I could spend hours on this. The resourcefulness of a mother. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. There's so much here in Proverbs 31 that describes this woman. And for those of you that have watched your mother or watched your wife, if you've got a Proverbs 31 woman like I do, you know exactly what those words are talking about. She eateth not the bread of idleness. The old expression is, the man works from sun to sun, but the woman's work is never done. I think I would remodel that. The father's work, the father works from sun to sun, but the mother's work is never done. Remember raising a house full of small children and get about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you get them all tucked away and put in bed, and then you go upstairs and sit down and say, finally, I can relax. Only to have my wife say, finally, I can get that laundry folded and do those dishes and get that vacuuming done that I've wanted to do all day. You feel about that big. The work, the resourcefulness that's required in a mother. Being a mother is a hard job. Being a mother, I would say, is the toughest occupation in the world. There's a lot of things that are difficult, a lot of things are challenging. And can I say this? It can also be the most rewarding occupation in the world. What other occupation can a woman get involved in that's going to pay what raising good children is going to pay? There's nothing like it. She is resourceful. Again, I like the phrase homemaker, because that's what a mother does. She makes a home. She provides for those children. She does all those things that are necessary to do. I tried to think about this. If you wanted to put in an application, there's a lot of jobs available out there right now. Did you know that? There's places shutting down right now because they can't get enough workers to stay open. There's a lot of talk about unemployment and this and that, but there are places that are shutting their doors during the daytime because they can't get enough people to work for them. So there are jobs available everywhere. And I thought, all right, you go in for a job, you ask for an application, you want to know what are the requirements, what do I have to do, what does this job entail, what is it going to pay? That's how you look for that job. Well, if a woman was looking for a job as a mother, what would that application look like? I'm glad you asked that question. I went down to the local hiring agency and I said, do you have any applications here for mothers? Those that would want to be the position of a mother. Now, you know I'm speaking facetiously, so don't take me too serious right now. But I went down and asked them, do you have any applications? Does it have job descriptions? And tell us what the duties are of that one that would be a mother. And they said, we just happen to have something just like that. Here's the job overview. Seeking a woman to take care of children at all hours of the day. 365 days of the year. With minimal breaks. Well, there's a first line that probably knocked about half the applicants out right there, didn't it? That's what it takes. You will be responsible for the upbringing of these children, making sure they have enough food to eat, that they are properly bathed and clothed, and that no accidents fall upon them. This is all to be completed often without any cooperation on the part of the children. Oh, no, they never do that. Kick and fight when they're supposed to get their bath. Refuse to eat their greens, and a mother has to deal with all of those things. Descriptions and duties. Must be able to plan and cook multiple meals each day with speed and efficiency. Of course, that also includes going out to buying all of those groceries. must be able to clean up multiple messes in a day, many of them involving bodily fluids. Must be able to perform personal assistant type duties, scheduling appointments and play dates with other children while performing your other duties. I like this. Must be a constant chauffeur, making sure the children get to school, ball games, birthday parties, and appointments on time. Must be a constant source of entertainment for the children, making sure they are having fun at all times. Must be able to read stories over and over again, sometimes making them up as you go. Must be a personal shopper who is ready to run out and get any needed supplies at a moment's notice. Of course, the children will have to go with you to do this, and they will often scream, cry, and want more from the store than is really needed. Must be a motivational speaker and also be able to mediate between children when necessary. And when necessary only means when there's more than one child. Because if there's more than one, you'll be mediating. Must be able to perform light medical or nurse-type duties, especially when the children disregard your advice not to touch that. This list is not exhaustive of your duties and does not even include doing many of these same things for your other child, your husband. Qualifications for this work. Number one, patience. Number two, patience. Number three, patience. Oh, wait, I'm stuck there, all right? A valid driver's license and constant access to transportation. That's one of the qualifications that are necessary. Skills in cooking, cleaning, sewing, laundry, tutoring, nursing, time management. You getting wore out yet? Are we appreciating the value of a homemaker? Must be a multitasker. That goes without saying. Must have great problem-solving skills. Must be able to handle constant criticism about what you're doing wrong, usually from people who have never done what you're doing. That's the overview, descriptions of qualifications. At the bottom it says salary, and it's blank. I think because they were scared to death to put a zero in there. The resourcefulness of a mother, all that she's required to do. Ladies, I could have handed that list out to you and you could have added numerous things to that list that you know are responsibilities of a mother. There is no job in the world as important and as valuable as being a mother. Please don't let the world rob that from us. Don't let society tell us that it's not important, because it is. And our society reflects that. The recognition of a mother, number one. The resourcefulness of a mother, number two. And then thirdly, the responsibilities of a mother. You can say, preacher, wait a minute, you just read that list. No, those were duties and those were things. I want to talk about the real responsibility of a mother. Look at Titus, the book of Titus over in the New Testament. Yes, there are a lot of duties and a lot of time-filling events and a lot of responsibilities. But here's what it really boils down to. Ladies, you will get exhausted. Like you don't know this. The hardest thing in the world is for a man to preach to women about what being a mother's like. Because I can't fully understand it. I can speak by observance. I can speak by listening. But I can't speak by experience. Never been. This might surprise some of you. Never been a mother before. But I know what the Bible says. And when you boil it all down to this, here's the key. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. In Titus 2 and verse 3, he's talking to the aged women, the senior ladies, and he said in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. That doesn't mean not drunk, it means even keeled. to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, love will cover a multitude of sins. And when children know that their mother loves them, that'll get them through a lot of difficult times. If you've ever watched children grow up, you know they go through difficult times. They go through hardships. It's part of growing up. And through that growing up stage, the one thing they need to know, when all else is failing, they need to know, Mom, my mother loves me. No matter what anybody else thinks of me, no matter what anybody else does to me, no matter what else happens, I know I have unconditional love from my mother. That's the most important responsibility of a mother. And can I say this? It's only natural. It's natural for a mother to love their child. It is not natural. It is not natural. I'll say it a billion times. It is not natural for a woman to say, that thing in there, I want it out of there. I want it dead. I want it exposed. I want it thrown out. I want it in the trash can. I want it out. That's not natural. Now, I'm thankful for the grace of God that's sufficient to forgive everything. I'm thankful for that. But a mother's love is natural. It's a love that a man can never have for the children the way a mother has for the children. And I don't envy that connection. I appreciate that connection. And understand that connection. To teach the mothers to love their children. I could give you examples of violating that principle that happen all the time. Some woman sticking her kids in the back of a car and pulling off the brake and driving it down into the lake and drowning her children because her current boyfriend doesn't like her kids. God have mercy on that mentality. For a woman that doesn't prize their children above everything and anything and protect them above everything. You know, if women protected their children, they wouldn't have the next guy moving in so quick that mistreats their children. So the key is, love your children. Then here's the second thing. Look up. Go left from Titus. Just a couple of pages. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. It's good to love your children. But another responsibility of a mother is to pass on faith. To pass to their children a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. A love for the things of God. A love for church, a love for the hymns, a love for the people of God. The Bible says about Eunice, the grandmother Lois and Eunice, that they had faith that was passed on to Timothy. Turn over to chapter 3 and look at verse number 15. Chapter 3 and verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We believe that Timothy was converted by hearing the preaching of the Apostle Paul one day. But we understand that the groundwork was laid at home. The groundwork was laid by Eunice and Lois, teaching Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. Mom, your greatest responsibility, though your responsibilities are numerous and many times overwhelming, your greatest responsibility is to introduce your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be an example to them of a godly woman. To be an example of them to one that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And to watch them follow in those footsteps. President George W. Bush, during his administration, came out with a program for education, and he entitled that No Child Left Behind. And of course, that was a social program for educating children, I understand that, giving them all equal opportunity. But you know what I think about when I think No Child Left Behind? I think about the rapture. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to call believers to Himself. And I want there to be no child left behind. I want our children to have been exposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to seen it and heard it lived out in lives of both mother and father. So that when that day comes and the voice calls out and the trumpet sounds, there'll be none of our children left behind. That's our responsibility. To see them put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. You can raise a child to be the CEO of a company, to retire at 45 years of age and own homes all around the world. And yet if that child dies without Christ, that's a failure. They could be on the Forbes top 10 richest in the world, but if they don't know Christ, that's a failure. Because the greatest riches the world has to offer are not the riches of this life. Those riches that we labor for and put everything else secondary to. The greatest riches are those which are to come. And there ought to be no child left behind. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12 said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Husbands, children, honor your mothers today. And not just today, but every single day. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.